And good afternoon. This is Kęstutis Reividas, and you're listening to Independent Lithuanian Radio here on KTYM 1460 on your AM dial, and of course, live streaming audio anywhere in the world at KTYM.com. Okay, you know, usually we give you the weather in Lithuania after joking around the weather here and how much better it usually is. But, you know, actually we have some more serious things to cover today, so we're going to sort of move a little bit ahead. Stories have been ranging. If you looked at the LA Times yesterday, you saw stories of the high 30s, people dead in Riga, Latvia, our neighbor to the north, and latest number we have yesterday afternoon was 45 dead, and today we are reading that we have 47 dead and 25 missing. We bring this up specifically because this is a Maxima market, okay? You've all been there. If you, well, I'm presuming most of you have been to Lithuania and the Baltics. Maxima is the largest retailer, and a Maxima has apparently collapsed in Riga, and at least 45 are dead and some 25 are missing. I'll comment in a minute, but anyway, we're going to pick up yesterday's story because the way it's worded, up to 45 people are dead and dozens more are injured after a shopping center roof collapsed in Riga on Thursday the 21st. Emergency services were called to Zolitudes Maxima Shopping Center at about 1800 hours. That would be, 6 o'clock in the evening after the roof of the building collapsed on shoppers below. Police say a winter garden was being constructed on the roof and may have been the cause of the collapse, although investigations are ongoing. Among the dead are three firefighters, said emergency services. Riga Mayor Nils Usakov says about 25 people are still trapped under the rubble. More have been injured and hospitalized. The Riga supermarket tragedy has become the largest loss of life. That's the largest loss of life in an accident in the country since the restoration of independence. I believe only the Estonian ferry collapse about a year and a half, 2 years ago, maybe even a little longer, was worse. Emergency services are at the scene rescuing survivors from the rubble, whilst a makeshift hospital tent has also been set up to treat the injured. Huge cranes could also be seen lifting up pieces of the collapsed building. Emergency services added that most of the victims of the tragedy were younger, aged between the age of 25 and 40 years old, beginning their holiday shopping. A Maxima employee who declined to release his name said three friends were in the store when it collapsed also. I was just speaking with them yesterday, and now they're gone. I just can't believe it, he added. Larissa, a local resident whose apartment overlooks the shopping center, said she could not believe the scene. It was terrible. Who would have thought this could happen? This is a time when people finish work, so there are many people out rushing around. I cannot believe it. Even when I look at it now, it is simply unbelievable. Others waited anxiously for news of friends or relatives who may have been trapped in the rubble. Meanwhile, the Maxima supermarket chain said it will carry out inspections of every one of its stores in Latvia. The company also intends to pay out compensation to all, the head of Maxima Latvia, Gintaras Jasinskas, said. More news apparently will follow. Lithuania has declared a day of mourning. That is, Lithuania has declared an official day of mourning. Again, keep in mind that this is the largest supermarket market retail type chain. It's like a Walmart. You go there to buy jackets, shoes, shovels, all your everyday supplies, food, toilet paper, toiletries, newspapers, whatever you can think of. It's like a Walmart. So they tend, some of them tend to be small corner stores. Some of them tend to be super, what they call triple X Maximus or Hyper Maximus, which are exactly what a Walmart would look like to you. Now, you know, I don't want to belittle this at all, okay? So don't get me wrong. But, when you drive around L.A. or Southern California or anywhere else around, you know, the Southern California area, what's it take for a supermarket to go up? You ever think about that? You know, or some sort of shopping complex? What, 2-3 years? And up there, what? You fly out there in the spring, you come back in the fall, and there's a 4-story building put up. You really have to wonder about the construction, the shoddiness of the construction, and, oh, I'm sorry, the potential shoddiness of the construction, or simply the corruption and bribery that goes on to get these things done quickly and perhaps unsafely. It's a terrible tragedy. Once again, at least 47 dead, at least 25 missing in a supermarket collapse of a Maxima in Latvia. We'll be right back. So if you've been listening, you know, we've been talking about a practical trade war. I mean, practical nothing. There's really been a trade war going on between the former Soviet Union, Russia, and Lithuania. I mean, they're banning dairy products, pork, meat products. They're stopping customs trucks. I mean, in other words, at customs, they are stopping trucks, okay? Remember, Lithuania is 3 million people. It's all about transport. It's all about logistics. It's all about moving product between the countries, and the Russian border authorities keep stopping the trucks, harassing the drivers. You know, it does a lot of good to have a bunch of cold pork in the back and them having the truck stand there for 4 or 5 days and letting your pork get nice and warm, doesn't it, right? Then they say it's no good. Same thing with dairy. Anyway, here's the good news. We got a little good news. Russian customs has not tightened checks on Lithuanians haulers as of Friday, according to the National Road Carriers Association. Doesn't say it stopped, but it says they have not tightened their checks on Lithuanian haulers as of this Friday. Quote, "We haven't been informed so far that a risk profile is being applied to Lithuanian haulers," according to Gytis Vincevicius, a spokesman for Linava, told Baltic News Services. Any conclusions about possible enhanced checks would be made next week. We believe that car traffic to Russia will increase on Monday, as we will then have more detailed information. So hopefully this ridiculousness has changed. Well, here's some good news. Lithuania earns a better credit outlook. That's always good. Dateline is Vilnius. From yesterday, having assessed the government's fiscal policy and Lithuania's economic growth, International Credit Rating Agency Standard & Poor's has improved Lithuania's long-term credit rating outlook from stable to positive, according to news services. The Minister of Finance, Rimantas Sadžius, said that this is good news, which shows confidence in Lithuania. It also reflects expectations that Lithuania will continue responsible fiscal policy, will consistently and decisively seek membership in the euro area. Now remember, there's a lot of people that criticize Lithuania for its austerity measures, okay? But it's getting Lithuania a lot of credit. The austerity measures being applied in Lithuania is getting it a lot of credit. Standard & Poor's has improved the long-term credit rating outlook after assessing the government's policy, which ensures sustainability of public finances and the prospective continuity of this policy. It also took into account that Lithuania is one of the leading countries in Europe in utilizing the EU structural support. The agency anticipates that Lithuania's economy will continue to grow consistently while inflation will moderate. Currently, Lithuania's long-term foreign currency credit rating is set as triple B, okay? BBB, triple B. It has not changed since March of 2009. In order to improve this rating, Lithuania has to keep to policies ensuring healthy and sustainable public finances, reflected by Maastricht criteria from the treaty, of course, allowing it to adopt the euro in 2015. Okay? Again, adopt the euro in 2015. Ladies and gentlemen, that's only a year away. That's a year and a month away. It's coming. Economists at the Bank of Lithuania, who recently evaluated the influence of euro adoption on the economy, said that main credit rating agencies assess euro adoption as a factor reducing credit risks. In addition, Estonia's and Latvia's examples show that the ratings can be improved even before the euro is introduced. However, sustainable public finance policy has to be maintained, said Ruta Rodsko, head of economics and financial stability at the Bank of Lithuania. The research conducted by the Bank of Lithuania showed that the improved ratings would make credit cheaper. It is estimated that in the year when the euro was introduced, that's 2015, the interest on government securities would decrease by 0.80 percentage points. That's 0.80 percentage points. Meanwhile, for people and businesses, the cost of borrowing would be lower by about half a percentage point. Well, we're back again with Independent Lithuanian Radio, and I forgot to thank you earlier. Again, we really, really, really appreciate the lending of your ears to us every Saturday at noon. Makes all the difference in the world of us staying on the air. And we do appreciate your donations and your time. The last couple of articles we're going to share with you are a little bit longer and a little bit more serious, but they're important. So we think that you should be paying attention and listening to them. The EU budget should be approved during Lithuanian presidency. Remember, Lithuania is acting as president of the European Union now. It's a revolving presidency, but gives you a lot of prestige, and you get a lot of stuff done. Special report from Brussels. The brokering of the deal over the EU budget for 14 through 2020, that's 2014 through 2020, and the summit for the Eastern Partnership, that is the EU's initiative to cooperate with Armenia Azerbaijan, Belarus, Georgia, Moldova, and the Ukraine, which is what the Russians are all pissed off about, on November 28th through the 29th, are the two main issues of the six-month-long Lithuanian presidency over the EU Council this year. Lithuania would also be obliged to deal with some unexpected crises in the EU, but the relative tranquility on the EU stock markets, the victory by the German so-called mummy Christian Democrat Angela Merkel in the German parliamentary elections, as well as the failure of the Barack Obama, Francois Hollande, and David Cameron to turn the Western naives and air forces into the allies of Syria-based rebel fighters allows Lithuania to concentrate on the above-mentioned two issues. Now, if that didn't make any sense to you, the bottom line is the Baltics are very, very U.S. getting involved in the war in Syria. Okay? You feel about it the way you want to feel about it. You can feel about the fact that the United States is still the world leader, and perhaps we should step out in front and actually save, and personally that's how I feel about it. Remember, hundreds of thousands of civilians are dead. They are dead because we are not involved. Now, I don't know. Maybe more would be dead if we were. But at least a couple of 100,000 are already, and another 100,000 or so are misplaced. But that's an aside. The Baltics are against the United States being involved in Syria in any way. So we'll continue with the article. During the coming Eastern Partnership Summit in Vilnius, the EU is hoping to see the signing of the association agreement between the Ukraine and the EU, which would mean Ukraine will have a chance to gravitate towards the European Union membership by leaving the influence zone of Russia. Again, that is why they are pissed off. And this is why the Vilnius summit provokes some very harsh reaction by the Russian Empire nostalgic Kremlin. The ban on Lithuanian dairy product imports that was imposed by Russia on October 7th and other sanctions. The cohesion policy funding for 2014 through 2020, which is the most vital part for the Baltics for the next seven-year EU budget, was discussed on October 7th through 10th in Brussels during the opening days of Open Days 2013, which is the annual forum of the EU cohesion policy. Some 6,000 policymakers, politicians, and experts from all levels of government and all the EU states and many other countries attended the forum this year. During the forum, the European Commission's officials spoke very positively about the Lithuanian presidency over the EU Council. On October 10th, after a round of negotiation talks regarding the coming deal over the EU cohesion policy, the EU's policy to reduce disparities between the levels of development of regions and countries of the European Union for the next funding period, which is known in EU jargon as the Multiannual Financial Framework of 2014 through 2020, Johannes Hahn, EU Commissioner for Regional Policy, described the Lithuanian brokering role during the negotiations as a tremendous job. One of the senior officials of the Commission's negotiating team told us this is one of the best EU presidencies they have ever dealt with. Shirin Wheeler, the spokeswoman for Commissioner Hahn, stated to the Baltic Times, "It is essential that the seven-year budget would be ready by January 1st. It is as important as the Marshall Plan," said the European Commission President José Manuel Barroso, speaking at the opening session of the Open Days 2013. He added that there is no growth without innovation and creativity, and he emphasized that infrastructure projects of new member states should have an added value. "The current economic and social situation does not allow for any delays in launching the new regional investment plan for growth and employment," said Ramon Luis Valcarcel, president of the Committee of the Regions the EU Institution of Regional and Other Locally Elected Representatives of the 28 EU countries and president of the Spanish region of Murcia or Murcia. Some $325 billion, let me repeat, some $325 billion with a B as in boy, billion euros will be available for cohesion spending between 14 and 2020. More than 70% will be spent in the less developed regions of member states. Spain will be the third biggest beneficiary. It will be able to draw on over 25 billion euros over the course of the next 7 years. The primary beneficiary will be Poland, Lithuania's immediate neighbor to the south, and a lot of that's going to spill over. It will get 72.5 billion euros, 2.5 times the amount granted to the second biggest beneficiary, Italy. Lithuania will be able to draw on some 6.4 billion euros, Latvia 4.2, and Estonia 3.3. Wheeler said that there will be significant changes in the cohesion policy. The priorities will be the following: research and development, low carbon economy, digital agenda, and small and medium-sized enterprises. The amount of EU co-funding for SMEs will double up to 2020 in comparison with the multi-annual financial framework of 07 through 13. This means no more easy money from Brussels for infrastructure projects, although this does not mean that Brussels will completely stop co-financing road construction in the Baltics, and any of you who've been there know that the roads are excellent, or other less developed regions in the EU. Money for road construction and new roads would need to be tied, for example, to boosting small and medium-sized businesses or connecting research centers. It is good to have highways, but it's also good to have something to transport on the roads, Hahn said, emphasizing that the European Commission prefers to support the SMEs. We have 23 million SMEs around Europe. If each SME would employ at least one employee, there would be no unemployment in Europe, he said. He added that up to 2020, more EU aid will come in the form of loans, not in the form of subsidies. The Netherlands, as well as Sweden and the UK, argued for the EU aid to be earmarked only for poor countries. They stated that it makes no sense to operate a system where rich countries send money to Brussels, which sends it back to them with certain conditions regarding co-financing. Indeed, France would probably be able to finance its island of Mayotte north of Madagascar without the involvement of Brussels. However, France and other countries, which are donors to the cohesion policy, decided to preserve the status quo, agreeing to a reduction of only 8% in comparison to the period of 07-13 in the total amount for the next seven-year funding. In 07 through 13, only 51.5% of funds were earmarked for the so-called new member states, those which joined the EU in 04 and later. This percentage will be similar in the next seven-year period. Since Lithuania joined the European Union back in 04, this new member state got more than 8 billion euros into its economy, some 80% of the EU's co-funding. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to stop here for a bit. I criticize the EU a lot. I think that, again, you know, you get what you pay for, you get what you ask for, and the EU comes with problems. But I will not at all doubt the benefit of billions of dollars, $8 billion of dollars into Lithuania's economy. Some 80% of the EU's co-funding went to support the general economic infrastructure, and 20% went to develop human resources. Since 2004, Lithuania's GDP has grown by about 1.5% per year, more than it would have without the EU structural funds from the cohesion policy, according to Richardas Malinauskas, president of the Lithuania Association of Local Authorities, a constant participant at the open days, and the mayor of Druskininkai. This spa resort, you know, that's where you go get your massages and stuff, is known for its snow arena. That's a strange thing to say, but yep, that's what it's known for, especially in the summer. It's got a snow arena. You can go skiing indoors in the spa town of Druskininkai in southern Lithuania near the Polish border. It is among the top five indoor ski slopes in the world. The arena was built in 2011, and the total cost of construction was 29 million euros. 40% of this came from the EU. Lithuania would have already collapsed if it were not for EU aid, said Aušra Maldeikienė, economics professor. I disagree, by the way, but that's what she says. Aušra Maldeikienė says Lithuania would have collapsed if not for the EU. And she's a famous critic of Lithuania's non-social, solidarity-orientated, and therefore non-sustainable. According to her, economic model forcing hundreds of thousands of Lithuanians to leave for other European countries, which she said during an open lecture recently at Vilnius University on October 11th. Oh, a true patriot she is. She said that the Lithuanian economy survives only due to Germany's money, which is sent to Lithuania via the EU cohesion policy. Wow. She said Lithuanian economy survives only because of Germany's money, which is sent to Lithuania via the EU. Well, you know what? I'll tell you something. Lithuanians have strong opinions, and for that, I also give them credit. The green accents in the EU's cohesion agenda will allow Lithuania to build more boilers for centralized heating systems in Lithuanian towns, which would use biofuels instead of gas imported from Russia. However, the real alternative to Gazprom gas will be the LNG import terminal. Notice no mention of fracking or natural gas, shale gas in Lithuania all of a sudden. It's truly incredible. Anyway, the real alternative to Gazprom will be LNG import terminal gas at the harbor at Klaipeda, which is expected to begin functioning by the end of 2014. I'll believe it when I see it, ladies and gentlemen. The Lithuanian government may hope to receive some EU financing for the terminal construction, although the biggest blow to Gazprom could be the investment of the U.S. company Chevron into shale gas exploration in Lithuania. So I take it back. They are talking about it. The biggest blow to Gazprom could be the investment of U.S. company Chevron into the gas exploration in Lithuania. Looks like talks are on. However, on October 8th, some environmental and taxation-related hysteria from the ruling Social Democrats and some of their coalition colleagues from the Order and Justice Party forced Chevron to pull out of this investment. Nonetheless, some hope exists regarding the future of shale gas exploration in Lithuania. We have run out of time for the last article that I was going to share. We'll give that to you next week, another important piece for you to listen to and to, so to speak, soak up. This is Kęstutis Reividas. Thanks for listening for Independent Lithuanian Radio here on KTYM 1460 on your AM dial. Remember, anywhere in the world, live, ktym.com. Bye-bye.